The next case is 97-1196, Kalmbach Wagner Swine Research Farm versus the Board of Revision of Wyandotte County. Mr. Gorey.
Chief Justice, Justice. The county audit and the Board of Revision report is for a number of reasons. First, they think that the BTA has deprived the Board of Revision, what is the last threat of authority for the Board of Revision to carry out the statutory duties and that is to determine who values the property tax purposes. The appellate also believes that the BTA has negated the statutory authority of the tax commissioner to control and to govern the Board of Revision proceedings, as I indicated in my brief, which is the construction of the tax commissioner that is perfectly valid, that property owners in the state have filed complaints to the Board of Revision required to obey and we have a violation of reasonable procedural rules. Okay. The third issue is for the end of the BTA's decision. BTA said that the Board of Revision could determine the true value of the property without the expense statement. BTA's holding was a little broader and said you could determine the true value without doing income approach. And I would like to convince this court, and this is court, I'm astonished that is what it means is that you can determine the true value of the property for tax purposes without all of the relevant data, without all of the information you need to determine the true value. And that goes to the essence and the core of a real property tax system.
Mr. Gorey, I'm troubled by this this line of argument, primarily because we start from the proposition that this was a complaint by the taxpayer, that they raised the issue that the assessed value was too high, and that isn't the burden on them to show that. And if it is on them, isn't the sanction for failure to produce evidence that the board wanted, that the board may not be convinced. Isn't that the way it goes? Where's it say that you have to put forth an income approach if you don't wish to do that? And even assuming that this is income in light of the fact that it's not leased property.
Justice Cook, first is to the sanctions.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just burden of proof. Isn't this that's the scenario. Somebody's got to prove that the value is too high. If they failed to do that because they didn't come forth with evidence that evaluator wanted, so be it.
You're correct, Justice. Mm-hmm. The property owner has the burden of proof.
Mm-hmm.
The point I'm trying to make is that the information that we're talking about, expense statements that's directly involved in the order of
yes, right.
Is both constitutional and statutorily and appraisal theory theoretically necessary to determine the true value of the property.
From what standpoint? Let's just take that. They argue that it's not, because it's not a rent-producing issue, that rather you want the value of the going business.
We're all familiar with the definition of true value. It's market value, fair market value, arms on sale, willing buyer, willing seller, open market. But here's the key. Here's the act. The point. And I'm just reading from the tax commissioner's administrative code where true value of money means open market sale, willing buyer, willing seller, neither being under any compulsion to buy or sell, and both having a knowledge of all the relevant facts. That's it. That's the absolute That's why 5715 of the one says that in determining true value, all facts and circumstances relating to the value of property and every other fact that is proved true value.
In this case, aren't you looking for information that is relates to the true value of the business as
no,
opposed to the property?
There is no business being conducted on this property other than to use, to maintain, and to operate the property as a commercial agricultural facility.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no business. The income is attributable to the real estate. And we must use the income. And it's just like rent is attributable to the apartment, like rent is attributable to your office. All sorts of types of income are attributable to a hotel. Well, the income expenses from the property are attributable to the real estate. We use those to value.
A hotel, we understand. A hotel, of course, is that's how it produces. It can be used by the buyer as a hotel. Is this some kind of special property that the business goes away? It doesn't.
The property buildings, for instance, were specifically designed, very uniquely designed, for the purpose for which the property is used.
Special purpose building?
There is an appraiser in the state that would appraise this property without requesting having access to the income statements.
But didn't the auditor in this case reject your very method? I mean, you're saying there's not an appraiser in the state, but you thought the auditor was charged with picking the method best to appraise it, rejecting him.
You, Justice Lundberg-Stratton, I believe you picked up from part of the appellee's brief where they said that in a prior case, the county auditor's appraiser didn't do an income approach.
Is that true? Or is that false?
No, that's not true. He did do an income approach. What he said specifically, and the appraiser was actually in his brief. The appraiser says, I got some income data from, and it's a data from the appellee from the home. They got it, first off. They didn't get it. The appraiser specifically says they didn't get the Comeback Lack for any expense data, and I can't do an income approach because I don't have that data. So, I would hope this court would take that into account, but that's a part of the record. I want to emphasize that the appraiser said, I want to do an income approach because the law and constitution statute confirms to do so, but I don't have the expense data. It's on.
Yeah, but aren't you arguing the merits when, in fact, we're hearing a procedural issue? The only issue is whether a Board of Revision can dismiss a complaint.
That is the key, yes, absolutely.
We are and you can win on your merit thing if it goes back. We say, you've got to hear it, and they can say you didn't give us the information. We're going to double the amount, and then you'd be really happy, wouldn't you?
The issue before this court is whether a county Board of Revision with the authority given to it by the tax commission can issue a reasonable procedural order requesting the property owner who filed the seeking order to submit the data that the constitution, statutes, and rules say necessary to determine the value of the property.
To support your position, you cite 0.28, 0.29, and 0.30,
absolutely.
None of which specifically say that it can be dismissed on the basis of lack of information, do they? Or the Constitution either?
I was attempting to answer that with Justice Cook. This court has been two cases prior to this. This is the third case specifically held that a Board of Revision complaint may be dismissed for violation of a reasonable procedural order. We read you from Sanchez, the classic case. In this area, and stands here, but I'm going to go to page 6 of my reply brief that says, and I quote, because appellants have failed to complete BTA Forms 1, and here's the critical language, and thereby complete apply reasonable procedural prerequisites of the Board of Tax Appeals. Appellants have foregone the available opportunity to have their claims heard on the merits. Now, that's a 1964 case.
Well, 1997, we decided Snavely, didn't we? How do you distinguish Snavely?
Snavely, the only party to appear before the Board of Revision was the attorney who filed the complaints, and the attorney had his own praise, and the attorney gives it to the Board of Revision and says, that's it, that's all you get, no more, no more. Go determine the value, and I'm going to blow through the ETA.
Yeah, but we said a failure of proof is not a ground for dismissal.
And
here there's a failure of proof, isn't there? I mean, the taxpayer decided not to give certain evidence, and so the board takes whatever evidence you have and decides whether the auditor is correct. I don't see why Snavely doesn't apply. Facts are different, obviously, but it's the same principle, isn't it?
Yeah, Chief Justice Moyer, Snavely, Board of Revision never requested anything. The attorney showed up and said, here's my office, it's my appraisal, that's all you get. And the board said, okay, well, we'll dismiss the complaint, failure to prosecute. And this court held the attorney's appraisal was admissible evidence. And that's fine. The Board of Revision Snavely did not say, as it did here, and there's a BTA case where that distinction was made. The Board of Revision did say here, you're required to give us individual expense data. Please do it four times they request it.
Yeah, but what I see here is the board saying, we don't like the way you're proving your case. We want you to prove it the way we think it ought to be proved. And if you don't prove it the way we think it ought to be proved, we're going to dismiss it rather than you just lose. That's the distinction I see.
The distinction is the key, Justice Mercer, is that a county board of revision has statutory authority to request the property owner to submit relevant data. Violation of that order is a violation of a reasonable procedural requirement. Why should anyone properly be allowed to file a complaint seeking a reduction in value, come before the Board of Revision and say, yeah, I know you want this information, but I'm not going to give it to you.
Because they say it's not relevant, it's not material, there's an appraisal report that says it's not relevant, not material. And so aren't you obligated then to look at their argument instead of saying, we don't like it because you're not complying, you're out of here?
No.
There doesn't seem to be any attempt to look at their underlying argument that this doesn't make sense for this type of property. Don't we have the right to challenge you on that point?
Well, sure they do, Justice.
And when your response to their challenge is, we don't like your challenge, so you're out of here.
The challenge is that if the Board of Revision requests the property owner to submit data with complete forms that they exist, then, and the property owner says, no, I'm not going to give you that information, the Board of Revision dismisses the complaint, and the BTA determines whether that was a reasonable procedural order. If the data isn't relevant, then of course the BOR was wrong.
The principle you're attempting to establish is not it doesn't matter to you or to the board whether they can decide in favor of the auditor or not. The principle you're attempting to establish is that the board has certain authority to require persons who come before it to give the board information that the board requests, and if they don't do that, the board has the authority to decide what to do about it. And they should not be confined to proceeding to adopt the auditor's evaluation, but they simply have the authority to dismiss if they want. That's the principle you're trying to establish.
The Board of Revision will give them, and has to give them the statutory authority itself, to issue reasonable procedural orders requesting the property owner to submit some very simple data that is in the owner's possession. Data that is essential to determine the true value of the property. What could be simpler? I mean, why would anyone produce such a property?
Well, counsel, these were for farrowing barns, is that
farrowing?
Farrowing.
Right, I'm not.
I'm a city. Just to clarify, I thought I pronounced it.
Is that what they were? Yes, as I understand it, they were they were different buildings where we'll take pictures of stages.
Right.
From her to slot.
Right. And this is the, these were the Fairway. Where the,
yes. Where the, just by what I understand, as I said, they were Fairway.
And these are not, these are owned by the company. They're not being rented out to someone. But they might have an apartment or a warehouse or a factory building where that's correct. And if I'm not mistaken, isn't this taxpayer, don't they have an integrated operation where they take pigs out of this facility and put them out to be finished in somebody else's barn, for example?
That is my understanding.
Okay.
I'm here.
So the whole income approach would be an arbitrary and fictitious thing anyway, as you apply it to this operation, because there's no sale and transaction of the product that's produced in this facility once it leaves that facility.
Just as I would, it is my understanding that the pigs were sold from this property and that there are income expenses.
No, I thought this taxpayer also would transfer the pigs to other people that they continue the ownership of.
I'm not aware of that.
Well, wouldn't reproduce, I mean, there are three ways of appraising. Market approach, the cost approach, and the income approach. And on an awful lot of properties, the income approach is just rejected. It's not an application at all.
On income-producing properties, the income approach, if you find it stable high, the primary choice appraisers and the primary.
Yeah, but that's the income approach is applied where you're getting streams of income from somebody else. I mean, here you're creating the income yourself by what you do inside that facility. I didn't think any appraiser used the income approach. This kind of example, I mean, a trained, certified appraiser. I just didn't think they did.
Approach would be used for most agricultural, home golf, commercial agricultural facilities, for DAV income, and in the income-based evaluation of the land. I thank you for your.
Thank you, Mr. Berry. Ms. Hershey.
I'm here today on behalf of Kalmbach Wagner Swine Research Farm. And before I get started, I would like to offer an apology to the board. Our brief is labeled reply brief to Kathleen, and she needs to say Kathleen's brief. The issue before this court is whether the BTA acts unreasonably and unlawfully in the first DOR's decision to dismiss Kalmbach's complaint and remand the matter back to the DOR to determine valuation based upon the information available to it. Underlying that issue is whether the DOR does have the inherent authority or the ability to dismiss a complaint when the complaint refuses to provide information. In this instance, the complaint has filed a timely notice of appeal, has presented evidence as to why there is, it should be a reduction in value. That evidence is based upon a cost approach, which was the approach used by the appraiser for the county. There have been objections tendered to the specific request, and those objections have been specific. Additionally, Kalmbach, through its attorneys, has appeared at every hearing, unlike the LCL case. Appellant is now arguing that there are statutory provisions, specifically 57.15.10.11, 28.29.30 that would give them the ability to dismiss a complaint for failing to comply with the procedure request. It's important when you take a look at those statutes, read them in their entirety along with the form, the DTE1 form. on that form, it does provide that rental property, owners of rental property need to produce additional information. That would include financial statements detailing all income and operating expenses. Also, when you look at DTE Form 1, it references other information required for rental property and doing an income approach on that property. That would include the identity description of the rental units, current rent rules, lease and rent debt for each tenant in term, options, base rent, any additional rent service charges, as well as any other income such as parking and laundry. By the very definition or the very terms included in DT Form 1, subparagraph 2, 3, 4, and 5, please do not afflict. Therefore, further bolstering our argument that the information sought by the Board of Revision is not relevant. Mostly,
assuming it is relevant, let's say for argument's purposes that it would be, that the board requested some relevant information that a taxpayer declined to come up with. What do you say should be the sanction for that, if not dismissal?
The sanction should not be dismissal because the statute does provide, through 5715.10, an alternative or a means for the Board of Revision to get information that it deems appropriate. And 5715.10 talks about having witnesses, having them under oath. If they refuse to respond or provide the information needed, then the Board of Revision can go to the county probate court, and at that point attempt to see the information through the probate court. At that point, I, as attorney, would feel more comfortable with that because we are dealing with legal and evidentiary issues at that point. The Board of Revision is composed of the auditor, county auditor, county treasurer, and president of the
county commissioners.
If are their representatives. There's no legal training on that board per se. Therefore, if there is an evidentiary issue, that basically just boils down to, then it can be reviewed by the probate court. Also, when you're looking at DTE Form 1, it does require that additional information can be requested. Again, I wish to emphasize that when you look at DTE Form 1, that at no time or no place indicates that a proper sanction for failing to provide this information is dismissal. And again, going back to 5715.10, the statutory recourse would be for the Board of Revision to appeal to the probate court to enforce its request. Appellant's counsel had referenced the court case of Bantam Company versus Ford. In that case, the court decided that the tax commission does have inherent power to come up with forms and rules and issues. Pursuant to that, the tax commission had devised the old BTA Form 1, and that was what was necessary to complete it by the time of its appeal. At that point, the Supreme Court did uphold a dismissal because ETA Form 1 was not completely filled out. Again, if you take a look at ETA Form 1, which has been provided to you, I believe, by the appellant, there's specific language in there that admonishes if the complainant does not comply with these sections, the court is without jurisdiction to consider the complaint. In essence, with Spangen, the court was designing with a jurisdictional issue. And yes, it can be argued as a procedural issue. The same way the court has found failure to file timely notice of appeal would be a procedural issue that would result in dismissal.
Counsel, these are special developments. This is not like box building that profitability of what goes on inside depends on what kind of machines or what kind of industry is being transacted. These buildings really can't be used for anything else.
These buildings are specially designed for raising pigs, farming pigs, farrowing pigs, raising them to a certain level, and then proceeding to put them on to the next stage of marketing. Also, Kalmbach Swine is a research farm. They develop their own feed, they develop their own feed supplements, so that also goes into it. Not all their production is based upon income. It is based upon development.
So because they're specialty buildings and because they may be more unique and that they're involved in a feed research program, market approach may not fit.
No, and it's very difficult in these cases because historically they've only had sales due to distress.
So that leaves you with the income approach, or it leaves you with the replacement approach. And I take it your client is wanting to go strictly on replacement.
Yes.
And it appears the numbers that you're asking to tax at are pretty low in relation to what these buildings cost to build new. Was the argument there obsolescence? And I guess where I'm going is, in this case, because they're unique and can only be used for one thing, isn't Shigori right that the income approach maybe should be considered here because there isn't anything else to measure this?
In this instance, the income approach should not be the best approach due to the fact that this is not that is totally geared toward income and profit, so that would not be an accurate reflection of value. The facilities themselves are specifically designed facilities due to the nature of pig urine, that buildings will deteriorate faster. So this particular client, Kalmbach Wagner, has in fact had to rebuild these buildings a number of times. Therefore, the information they gave in terms of what it would cost and what goes into it is very accurate information. They gave them information as to what the prior buildings had cost and what the present cost of completing those buildings would be at this time. Their appellant cited to the Eggleite case, in which they said the BTA stated that all agricultural income-producing businesses should be valued based upon income. I think if you read that case, it will give you a sense of the factors that go into each industry. Laying eggs is completely different from birthing pigs, raising pigs, and marketing pigs. In that instance, based upon information provided by the taxpayer, they had found that a market approach supplemented by income approach was proper. But then again, I think if you read that case, it will indicate that egg laying is very specialized, very hard to generate profit, a few cents either way to make or break the company. In this case, we're not running the same operation as an egg house, and in fact, it's a research facility. Therefore, income is not always uppermost. Unlike an egg laying house necessarily. I'm not here to argue that Kalmbach Wagner is doing this out of charity and cost, but what they are making today research, or what they're losing today by doing research, they're going to make in the future.
But you do acknowledge the income approach here because of the special nature. If there's a fallback, or to be another approach other than the cost approach, as a check, it's going to be the income approach and not the market approach.
Yes, unless, of course, you could find some market information which show where sales have occurred. And again, I don't think you're going to find that in Ohio. You might be able to go to North Carolina, South Carolina, and find some comparable sales. And if you have the right appraisal with the right credentials, you might be able to get some verified information that way. However, it's my understanding that historically we have not had single market adjacent.
So the request for the income data was not an unreasonable request. Your argument, however, is that it shouldn't be.
Correct, because we are still submitting and arguing that it is.
Was your client arguing, did your client feel or did they assert that there was proprietary information here that was important to not disclose?
As a matter of fact, that was not specifically asserted. However, in other cases where Kalmbach has been sued specifically for information relating to their fee, they have argued that it's a great
But they did not raise that fee.
They did not raise it and should have been raised below. At this point, in reviewing the case law that the court now has before it, the case law stands for the proposition advanced by the appellate, and that is the court provision does not have the inherent power to dismiss a claim based upon failure to comply with the procedural request for renewal. And Frisbee Finley, Inc., there was an instance where the board provision attempted to secure actual income information on a specific Meyer store. At that point, the taxpayer refused to submit that income. The board provision dismissed. The Franklin County Court of Appeals cited to the LCL income properties to distinguish that case, citing that that is good for the proposition, in effect, where a taxpayer fails to show up and prosecute its claim at all. In this case, our client has showed up. He has argued and alleged that, in fact, the value is too high, provided evidence to that, and therefore we now fall under the confines of LCL Inc. properties. The Franklin County Court of Appeals also in the drifting made the specific reference to a number of the cases cited by the Supreme Court. When the Supreme Court has indicated that dismissal based upon failure to comply with procedural request is too harsh. At this juncture, we are arguing and we are requesting the court to find that the BTA did act reasonably and lawfully when it set aside the dismissal, that the dismissal of complaint for failure to comply with procedural rule or request is too harsh and is contrary to law. That in fact, the BOR could have taken care of this short dismissal again by applying to the probate court for any additional assistance it would require in getting that information, if in fact that information is found to be relevant. Appellant's case is premised on the fact that this information is relevant. That issue has not been fully litigated and is not properly litigated before this court, because we've been bringing in facts that are not before the court. Regardless, the Board of Revision is faced with a situation where the taxpayer refuses to give the information, does have the ability to simply reaffirm the decision of the county auditor. And that county auditor had verified that value presented at the initial appraisal was a true value. And if nothing else, the Board of Revision can seek not to have that information submitted at any additional hearing that would be before the Board of Tax Appeals.
Thank you, Marsha. Mr. Gore, you've used your time permit. Take 30 seconds.
I would just like to ask or to consider that as Kalmbach Wagner into the property owner in the situation which was understood for more provision, that property owner's obligation to rely on the law to obey the order. I set out the chain in my brief. But that is a critical, absolutely fundamental. As they stood there for the court provision, they were under a legal obligation to respond, to provide the information. And now we have to look at the sanction when they fail to carry out the legal obligation. And the appellee says, well, we go subpoena the information from the probate court. This is administrative proceeding, quasi-judicial. Why should...
Or uphold the auditor's ruling and be all over.
But then there's no sanction. That's the BTA's answer, Justice Sutherland. They were for a legal obligation...
That's a sanction. That's a sanction. There's no reduction.
Then they weren't under a legal obligation to submit the information to go to the BTA and as it does.
Thank you, sir. The case is submitted. You'll be advised by the extension of the case.
All rise.